Yeah.
Would you like some here?
I go for it. Oh, thank you very much.
Fresh brewed coffee.
In the real cup. We're putting it in the real
Oh, great. No, I'm good here. Okay. I'm really good. Thank
All right.
you.
Welcome to Morning Living.
Thank you.
Jane Seymour is here with me, Dean Olscher, and Betsy Kretnik. It's almost 1 minute past the hour here, our second hour of Morning Living, and we're devoting it to her. She is, you know her as an actress, but she also has this whole other life.
As an artist, a designer.
And a writer and a designer, you name it. And so that's why she's here.
Mother.
On Morning Living. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great having you. So I see you brought a book with you.
We've been flipping. I know. Well, this is a book that just got published by DK Publishing, and it's called Making Yourself at Home. And the purpose of the book, it's a style book, but the purpose of this book is to show how you discover what your style is. So whether you're doing it for yourself in your home or whether you're going to hire a decorator to do it, how do you get started? How do you discover what colors you like or how you're going to incorporate collectibles or things that you've gathered over the years that maybe other members of your family collected and you're not sure whether they belong in your home? And so I've shown how I've done it within my home. I also talk about babies' rooms and then, you know, upgrading them to being rooms for 10, 11-year-olds rather than babies, rooms for teenagers and family rooms, and really also incorporating in our house, we'll have everything from African collectibles and art to Asian to French country to things from El Salvador to you name it. And
I think we should do that with our listeners. We should invite them to call in, and you can help them discover their own style.
Well, there you go. That's good. And actually, on the book, I also have a fun thing there that if they have a copy and take a look at it, called Tablescapes, where you actually have fun with collectibles that you already have in your home, and you mix them up with maybe scarves from your closet and bits of beads and jewelry and things and flowers and, you know, vegetables if you want.
So here's the number to call, 866-675-6675, and Jane Seymour will help you discover your own style here on the radio. It's going to be a little tricky because we can't see things, but you
know. No, but they're describing. You know, maybe it's one little tchotchke you pick up along the way.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things I show in the book is my mother-in-law left us these little porcelain Victorian boots. And we're looking at them, we're going, well, we live by the ocean, you know, we have a very much kind of more modern, beachy kind of house. What are these little Victorian boots going to do in our house? You know, maybe we should get rid of them. And I just didn't have the heart to get rid of them, so I found a way of arranging them on one of the side tables, putting some flowers in them, draping them with some bits of jewelry and stuff, and all of a sudden it became what we call a tablescape. And my husband walked by and said, oh my gosh, I remember those. Those were my grandmother's. And, you know, he just had this wonderful feeling about them. And everyone who came by the house said, those are really cool, you know, that collection there. So it's kind of the idea of taking the collection out of the display cabinet and having it maybe be part of the dining room table or a coffee table or even like a little side table, or maybe it's sort of the artist's installation.
Great. Making Yourself at Home is the book by Jane Seymour. And we're inviting you to call. We actually have a call from Pam in California. Hi, Pam.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jane. It's Pam Hughes here.
Hi, Pam.
I'm up very early. I got up at 4, so I wouldn't miss you.
Someone you know?
Pam is my number one fan globally. Aren't you, Pam?
Yes. I help run her fan club and everything. And I heard accidentally by listening to Carrie Nolan that you'd be on today on Martha's other one of her other shows. And I have a question for you from all the fans. Everybody loves the new book. I bought it actually for myself, got to see it for a few minutes. My mother hijacked the book. It's a wonderful book for design and fashion.
So you want Jane to send you another copy, is that what you're saying?
No. I gave it to my mom for Mother's Day because she shows it to everyone, and it's a great coffee table book with a lot of great ideas on design. But the number one question I get from the fans is, when are you going to write your autobiography?
Well, you know, actually I was thinking about it just the other day, and my mom's been very sick, and she has had a stroke. So my sisters and I have been going through the house and looking at things that we never actually were able to look at before. We found all these amazing letters and things, and she's kept everything, every exercise book, every letter I've ever written from every aspect of my life. I mean, everything I ever said, every movie I was on, the letters I wrote, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then, of course, I can read between the lines and remember what I was really doing and not telling her. So I thought the other day that if I did do my autobiography, it'd be kind of cool to do it in a sort of Rashomon way, so that I would say what I remembered, and then, you know, it could be interrupted by my sisters or my friends who were there at the time and say, well, Jane, yeah, but I remember this, and maybe you've forgotten that. And I just thought how cool it would be to have an autobiography that actually has an interjections from people that actually were there at the time.
Well, I have 20 humongous scrapbooks of your career since I was a kid. So I'm 45 now, so you know I've been following you for about 35 years, so you're welcome to have them.
Well, Pam, you missed out on those first 11.
I think that's the part I want to hear.
Exactly. I have an autobiography. Thank you very much for calling, Pam. I've got a question for you, an autobiographical question. Jane Seymour is the name that you chose for yourself.
Right.
Was it deliberately intending to evoke Henry VIII?
No, my real name, and I've always very, very proud to tell everyone about it, is Joyce Penelope Wilhelmina Frankenberg.
I love that name.
You would too. I accept that I was called Frankenstein Frankfurter Frankenberger. Mm-hmm. My mother had shortened Wilhelmina to Wilma, so with the Flintstones, you know. That wasn't so cool. No, the only reason that my name was changed was I was a ballerina originally, and all ballerinas in those days changed their names. And you had what was called a stage name, and my agent said he could not sell me as Joyce Penelope Wilhelmina Frankenberg. It had to be shorter and English sounding and easy to spell and easy to remember. And somebody randomly came up with the idea of Jane Seymour. I wanted to keep the initial J. Jane, I thought anyone could be a Jane. And Seymour is very English and easy to spell. And then, of course, afterwards, we all realized it was Henry VIII's third wife.
Right. Was she one of the ones he beheaded? I forget.
No, it goes divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, beheaded, survived. That's how you remember your English history. No, she actually died of preeclampsia, which is toxemia in pregnancy, and I was always terrified that I would, if I ever got pregnant, have this problem. And guess what? When I had the twins, I got toxemia.
Oh, no kidding.
That's I know. So I wrote another book called Two at a Time, A Journey Through Twin Pregnancy, because I just thought, you know, people see me in the magazines and they, you know, I'm Dr. Quinn and I'm, you know, carrying twins at 45 and then suddenly, miraculously, I'm at the Golden Globes winning an award and I'm, you know, a size 2. How did this happen? I wanted people to know that it was because I nearly died. not a diet that should be followed by anyone.
That's right.
It was just, you know, very tough to have children later in life. So, but I know I did. I got toxemia because I'm fine now.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, I guess what happens often is that the baby needs to come out when you have preeclampsia, and there will be an early...
early C-section is what I had, a very, very quick one. Well, it's all about high blood pressure, basically, and that's another reason. I'm very involved with women's heart health, and I'm doing a lot of my paintings have been involved with women's heart
health. That's another thing that Jane Seymour does, she paints.
Yeah. I paint. I just had a one-woman show in New Jersey. In fact, the art's there, if anyone wants to go there, at Ocean Galleries in Stone Harbor. And I've got about 80 pieces there, or at least, you know, we sold a lot, so maybe not 80 anymore, but there were quite a lot of pieces there. And I did a series of women in red dresses, and I started out by painting myself in a red dress with a red hat on the beach. And this was the whole idea of alerting women to women's heart health initiative. I mean, you're 10 times more likely to die of heart disease than you are of the next 7 diseases, which is unbelievable.
It's funny because heart disease was thought originally to be a man's disease, but it turns out it's just as much a problem for women as it is.
I think women are still not quite aware of the risk. You know, some diseases where we seem to have a better education about breast cancer being one.
Absolutely, and it's brilliant what they've done with breast cancer. I think it's fantastic, and I think it's incredibly important. But actually, heart disease is the one that will kill you way before breast cancer. And so I've done these paintings that are in my book, Women in Red Dresses. And if you go on my website, jameseymourhome.com, where I've got a lot of other things that I'm sure we'll talk about in a few minutes, I also have this whole section called Art to Wear. And I do pocketbooks, and I do purses and scarves and things. And again, I've interpreted my woman in a red dress. So I often wear that purse, walk around, and people say, "Where'd you get that?" And I said, I made it. And
happy to make you one too.
And but not just that. You know, it gets people talking about, you know, why the red dress, you know, what's the purpose. It's one way of spreading the word.
We'd love to have you call and speak to Jane Seymour. She's offering to help you find your own personal style. That's what she does. She's doing it in the book, and you can call at 866-675-6675. It's 10 minutes past the hour. Jane Seymour is our guest here on Morning Living, Martha Stewart Living Radio. And red dresses, pocketbooks,
home line.
You know, I know you have such widespread interest, but you really need to concentrate on the home line to get it off the ground.
Well, this is true. I did it for 3 years under the Saks Incorporated group. So I was at places like Carson Perry Scott, Parisians, Profits, those kind of places. And then, of course, Saks Incorporated sold all the stores other than Saks Fifth Avenue to Belk's. and I got my line back, and now I've launched it myself with the team that I actually worked with for 3 years, so we already know, you know, what we were doing, and it's very exciting. It's going very well. We're at the Great Indoors in 16 locations, and then, of course, on jameseymorehome.com. Mm. And there's a huge range of top of the bed. We've got comforters, quilts. We have 4 different collections based on homes that I have or places that are iconic to me. So there's St. Catherine's Court, which is based on my home in England that's over 1,000 years old.
Is that the one where Radiohead recorded OK
Computer? That's right. That's right. That's very clever of you. And S Club 7 recorded there. Johnny Cash was there.
Cool. Johnny Cash was our family friend who you named Johnny.
Yes, Johnny Keach is one of the twins, is the godson of Johnny Cash, and John and June were very close friends, and my husband won the Golden Globe for Best Film for Walk the Line, which was the movie that John and June asked him to make.
Film.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. St. Catherine's Court is a very traditional English collection, and then we have Coral Canyon that's based on the home in Malibu, which you can see in the book, Making Yourself at Home, and this is much more kind of a more casual American kind of look. We have florals and as well, but I always think about men, so everything can be reversed. So you can go to Stripes, and if there's a man in your life that doesn't even want to know a flower exists, it's very simple. You just flip my stuff over, and suddenly it's very linear.
You're laughing, Dean? That was amazing. When I got married, that was, you know, I was like, I'm not sleeping on flowered sheets.
There you go. Well,
I said, really? Not a flower comforter, flower sheet, flower valance.
Well, I have, at the moment, my number one top seller is this black and white one called Mulholland, and it's like a Jacobean floral on one side. You flip it over, you wouldn't even know that anything ever happened in the world other than pinstripes. You know, we're talking very, very, very modern and very masculine. But, and then we've got Grand Hotel Mackinac Island, which was inspired by Somewhere in Time, the movie that I did with Christopher Reeve. And so I have a hotel collection. It's part of it's slightly Victorian, but the most part of the Grand Hotel collection is very modern and very sleek. And then we have Winding Way, which is my cottage collection, which is like quilts and things like that.
What is it that made you decide to expand beyond acting to do all these things that you do?
Well, I was a painter before I was an actress. In fact, you know, people say, well, why should you be painting and designing, you know, when you're really an actress? And actually, the truth of the matter is that before I became an actress, I had my own clothing line when I was 15 years old, and I was embroidering silk blouses and see-through blouses for a company in England, a store there called Brown's at South Molton Street. And what happened was, quite a funny story, is they had, we all burnt our bras, or I didn't, but we were all, you know, it's women's
wear.
Apparently people were burning, they burned their bras and wore see-through blouses, and the idea was, you know, let it all hang out. And I wasn't quite ready to do that at 15, so I embroidered a couple of real-life looking birds eating berries, and the birds happened to be English birds called the blue tit and the great tit. And I just embroidered them in the appropriate places. This got into a newspaper. The next thing I knew, I was embroidering blouses personally, not
tufted,
by machine.
Tufted.
Yeah, and I did them. I did all kinds of embroideries for this store, and I started my own company. So when I was 15 years old, I had my own clothing company. And then, of course, you know, I was I could have gone to college with art, but I wanted to be a ballerina. That was my real training. Mm. I got injured and became an actress by default, and then over the years, to subsidize my acting, I was designing homes.
Mm.
Quietly and minding, you know, just doing it. I would buy a home that nobody wanted and make it nice and fill it with things that I loved and decorate it myself, and then people would buy the whole thing with everything in it, including the art. And so after a while, I got slightly smart to that, and after about 9 homes, I just thought, you know, doing a home collection would be a fun thing to do.
866-675-6675 is the number to call to speak with Jane Seymour. As she just mentioned, she's not just an actor, but also I have to make sure I have him right. You paint, you design clothing, you design a home line. Book author. Have I left anything out?
Mother. Producer. We produce movies. We also have this home in St. Catharines. We do weddings, and you know, people can rent it. So we've really done that. We're doing that now in a commercial respect.
So when you say that you did these other things to subsidize your acting career, that's the part that probably surprises people, because you think, well, gosh, you're a movie
prolific
star.
We've seen you in film and we've seen you on TV for so many years.
Well, the thing is that I love to paint. The really what we have to come back to is all the design, everything comes from my absolute passion for designing and painting. And that came I will say I did when I was younger, but about 16 years ago, I went through a terrible divorce. I lost everything. All those movies and everything, all the money that I'd made was lost in a terrible divorce. And it's a very long story, but I ended up really ready to be completely bankrupt. And I gave the last money I had at a child abuse function for Child Help USA. And I gave it to a man, Tom Milko, an artist, to do a drawing of my children. And he came to, and saw my finger paintings in my kid's nursery and said, "Who did these?" And I said, "I did." And he said, "They're really good." And I said, "I have finger paintings." And he said, "Oh, they're good. You know, do you paint?" And I said, "Well, not really since I was a kid." And he offered to give me some free art lessons. And I was going through what would have been the worst depression of my life, because I really felt very betrayed. And it was a horrible divorce. And what happened is I took some lessons and I started painting, and that just gave me so much joy. And I realized that I really processed my grief and my fear and my anger and everything through painting. And so it's really important to me that I sort of, you know, move that forward and pass it on to people, because I think that when you are in creative mode, whether it's rearranging your house or it's, you know, putting things together, or whether it's painting, or it's even going to an art gallery and picking art that you love, whatever it is, to have that creative outlet be part of your life is very healing. And so that's where it all came from. And you know, that's why, and even when I'm acting now, when I did Wedding Crashes, Owen kept saying, "Jane, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm painting, Owen." He said, "I can see that, but what are you going to do with them?" I said, "Well, next weekend, Owen, I won't be hanging out with you and Vince getting drunk. No, I will be at an art show." And I came back, and he wanted to buy one of them. I said, "Too late, Owen, they're all sold. They're all gone." So, and it's also wonderful because I can raise a lot of money, a lot of public awareness with both my paintings and my home collection. I mean, for example, I did a national competition when we launched the website for kids 14 years and younger to come up with a design for a pillow, because we have these embroidered pillows of my paintings. And we did one, and this young girl called Kelsey, 9 years old, came up with a wonderful design. It's five kind of cut out, they look like gingerbread men, but they're people of all different nationalities around a heart with a globe, and it's about peace, and it's beautiful. It's very colorful, actually, although you can't see in your black and white image there, but if you look on the internet. And for $29, this will be sold, and 100% of the money, including the cost of making and everything I'm underwriting with my company, is going to go to try and help stop child abuse.
The other thing about this globe is that there are two hands reaching toward each other.
Yeah.
And not quite there, but they're moving in that direction.
They need to move a lot faster, don't you think? I think that's the biggest issue in the world. You know, the other thing I've been really involved with is I did a documentary called Running Dry. And we make documentaries. It's one of the other things we didn't talk about. And Running Dry is all about the world's water crisis, and not just with global warming, but the fact that wars now and the future will not be fought over oil, that we fought over water. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of this. So if you have a chance,
in Uzbekistan is vanishing.
And no, and what's happening in the Middle East, if you ask anyone who's actually Israeli or Palestinian, they will tell you that the wars there on the border are over the lack of water.
How do you have the energy to do all these things that you do?
Because I have a passion for them, and when you love something, you find time for it. You know, for some people, it's sitting home watching TV or listening to us on the radio. Well, I like the radio idea because you can still paint and create and cook and do other things. You can multitask.
When you wake up, how is your day? I mean, Dean and I wake up, we pretty much do the same thing every day between 6 a.m. And 10 a.m. But you wake up and today is going to be a charitable fundraising day or a painting day or a painting day?
It's a mixture of everything. I mean, obviously, the first thing I do is get my kids up and off to school. That's the first thing. And then I have to decide, depending on what appointments I have, you know, what I can fit in. There will be certain days, if I can do it, where I just turn the phone off, and unless it's an emergency or it's the kids, I'm just painting all day, and I go into this other zone, this other place, and I do that. If I'm designing, you know, a lot to do with design and a lot that's to do with art is the thinking process. So I think about it all night. I mean, I can be thinking about it in airplanes. I can be thinking about it everywhere, and I have my sketchbook and my paints with me wherever I go. And actually, I was painting this weekend while I had an art show. When I had time off, I was painting watercolors and coming up with some new ideas for the home collection. So I'm happiest when I'm creating, and so that gives me joy. And whereas on the set, when other people, you know, when we're acting, I can't read a book or do the crossword or do other things like that, because I have to stay in character. But I can paint and I can come up with ideas and sketches for designs while I'm playing a character.
Do you listen to the radio while you're painting?
I do. I listen to music mostly. I love to listen to music. But yes, I do listen to the radio.
I was told by a painter once that he could actually remember what he was listening to when he was painting any given thing. And he said, I was listening to you when I did this little corner of this painting. And I thought, how is that possible? I mean, not only is he dividing his brain, but somehow he can maintain a correlation between the two things.
Now, music really has an impact on you when you paint and design. I mean, if I'm trying to do something, I'm very romantic, you know, and I'm really trying to kind of express love in an image. You know, the theme from Summer in Time is very handy. Or pretty much anything by Rachmaninoff.
Oh, that sounds right. So what else is on your playlist for painting?
Well, a lot of John Barry, of course. You know, he dances with wolves and all of those things. I like Eric Clapton, Unplugged. I was a good friend of Peter Cetera, so I love a lot of his pieces.
Did John Barry do the James Bond thing?
Yes, he did James Bond. He's also a personal friend.
So that's another credit of James Bond that we haven't met.
And the James Bond, Live and Let Die. Yes, I know. It's very nice to be my age and still recognized for a movie that you were 20 in. You know, and especially since I'm like the only un-Botoxed, unstretched person around.